This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Super happy for him. No surprise. I mean, he's been one of the best in this league for a long time, and he's been making some big plays lately, and, you know, that's just what he does. Lead us back there just in terms of making plays. It's up to us, everybody else, to start doing the same. We came down and scored some points on him, too, but, like, red zone picks, you know, they're double the importance because, you know, they're threatening to score, and it's a 14-point swing at that point. And, you know, it's huge for us to get the ball and just kind of disrupt the offense a little bit, keep them guessing, and just, you know, we came out kind of slow, so I think that momentum kind of helped us. We might have, like, five out there. Yeah, I mean, we won, but, like, we want to close the game out in a better fashion. We want to catch picks, obviously. I don't know. I guess we just got some bad juju right now or something, but we'll get it off our back. Yeah, I've said it before, but, I mean, anybody can beat anybody in this league, so we're going to prepare for this game. The Browns are a very physical team. You know, they don't have the best record right now, but I think on tape, when you watch them, they got talent. Cause some issues if you don't take it serious, so...
Well, we'll be watching that tape or hearing Vinny's analysis of that tape tomorrow. Cleveland loses a 5 in a row. Guess Jameis Winston's the quarterback.
Yeah. Got no other options, I don't think. Yeah,
Jerry Jeudy, I guess he's their top receiver. David Njoku's a good ball player. I mean, they got some things, but, you know, that's Kyle Hamilton talking about not overlooking the Cleveland Browns. Ravens are 9-point favorites for Sunday's game coming up at 1 o'clock there. Cleveland, as I just said, they've lost 5 straight ball games. They haven't really been destroyed in any of them.
No.
Their defense, disappointing based on last year's performance. More dominant at home last year, as we've talked about, than they were on the road, where they were mediocre to less than. But this year, the resistance level, all right, it is what it is. Less than stellar. Offensively, Deshaun Watson's out for the year. Torn Achilles. Nick Chubb's just back from a knee injury, so there's probably some rust he's trying to run off. And he's had success against the Ravens in the past. It looks to me, and I don't want to get too cocky on a Woman Crush Wednesday by any stretch of the imagination, but unless the Ravens go out there and turn the ball over 4 times or overlook the Browns, and we just heard Kyle Hamilton say, no, we're not doing that. This could be a good old Lamar's sitting on a bench watching Josh Johnson take snaps game. Looking ahead to a Denver team, which might be a little more physical, not to look ahead too much, in a couple of weeks. So as Cleveland struggles, the Ravens cook. But we heard Kyle Hamilton, too, talking about the weakness of the team. And as we praise the offense, and rightfully so, he gave up 480 yards of offense against Cleveland. And let's see, Burrow got him for 5 TDs. Gardner Minshew diced him up in the fourth quarter in week 2. Dak Prescott was thrown all over him in week 3 in the second half. And I guess, Vinny, these problems are real in the secondary, and you heard Kyle talking about Marlon Humphrey's 2 picks changing the momentum of the game, especially the first one.
No doubt.
Baker just said, hey, you want an interception? He said, sure, I'll take it. But the dropped opportunities, because they don't have a ton of picks as a team. Marlon's got 3 of them.
He's got 4.
4. And he's lamenting Kyle Hamilton that there should be more in the till for them in that category.
Well, so Washington's a lot of brickhand stuff. Yeah, Washington's dropped 2. Wiggins has probably dropped 2 or 3. But so be it. I mean, it's still, like you said, Bob, they're still giving up way too many yards. Didn't seem like the communication was as bad in this pass game. But, I mean, you know, you're going to give up yards when you're ahead. I mean, you're up 34-10. You know the other team's going to throw the ball. You just, you know, you don't want to give up the bomb. So, I mean, eventually, you know, it'd be nice if you could just get them off the field. That's the problem. They just let them keep driving, converting. I mean, in that game, I would say, Bob, where's the pass rush? That would be my biggest concern. Where's the pass rush? Because there wasn't any.
Now, third down conversions against, it's been a problemo, as you just pointed out. One of the main reasons you can't get off the field, because teams keep extending drives, and we'll get into stat breakdown full effect on Friday, but we'll start to tease a little bit of it today. Third down conversion rate against the Ravens, they're struggling, man.
27th. Yeah. 46, 45.6 for Norm. Rounded up, it's 46. It's 46.
He likes that decimal point. But still, 46 is bad. And for those who may not follow the NFL on a religious basis, there's 32 teams.
Right.
And they're at the bottom end of it. And sooner or later, again, as great as the offense is, and it's great, they have the top two MVP candidates right now. And Lamar and Derrick Henry, you keep walking that tightrope, sooner or later you're going to get burned. And you're going to give up the game-changing play late. And Marlins pick in Cincinnati kind of stopped that from happening because Joe Burrow was about to deliver the knockout punch that Sunday.
Yeah, Joe Burrow. It seems like, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, every quarterback that plays against the Ravens plays great.
Gardner Minshew's had two good games in his career, and I think they're against the Ravens in Baltimore.
Well, the Ravens are giving up a quarterback rating of 101.6.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a quarterback, you want to play. I mean, let's just hope that Jameis Winston doesn't get off. You know, I mean, and he likes to throw it deep. And he also likes to throw picks. But, I mean, they'll take some deep shots, I'm guessing, with Njoku and Judy. But you can't get them excited. This is only their third home game, Bob. I mean, they've lost both. They lost to the Cowboys 33-17 and then the Bengals 21-14.
So they're doing what they got to do. Losing because they're limited in a, I don't say talent capacity because it was a playoff team last year. Let's see. They lost to the Giants.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati and Dallas. They've lost three games at home. They're on three at home.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
their only win was against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So either way, they suck kind of wherever they play.
And you know what's crazy, Bob?
If they play across the street, probably be 9-point underdog.
I mean, left tackle's Willis. He's not bad. Batonio's decent left guard. And Conklin's a decent right tackle. I mean, the center and the right guard aren't good, but they're not. And maybe a lot of it, and they've been sacked 35 times. Maybe a lot of it is Deshaun Watson,
who's no longer there. But as we said, and we'll a film study we'll do with Cleveland tomorrow, they're not devoid of talent. They are now at wide receiver, it seems. But defensively, is it the same crew that was out there last year? I mean, who's gone? I mean, Myles Garrett was Defensive Player of the Year in 2020.
And he's got feet problems. Za'Darius is there. Jock is there. Denzel Ward. Yeah, I'd have to look at comparison, but yeah, they're not playing the same way. The defense played pretty good, though, against Cincy last week.
Yeah, they hung in there.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati won't have their notes from the North coming up around 11:30. Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com. I mean, after the Ravens explosion, a game they lost, offensively, they've been struggling to score points the last couple of weeks. So we'll talk to Hobbs about that. World Series starts on Saturday. Sad news that I woke up to this. And, you know, Nolan, you're going to face this reality. The older you get, you wake up, it seems like once a week, somebody you grew up watching passes away. And Fernando Valenzuela, Fernando Mania, he passes away at the age of 63. Pitched for the Orioles in 93. Wasn't bad, wasn't great, but, you know, 8-11, I believe it was, plus +4 earned run average. But Fernando Mania was a thing. And you talk about And I remember the 81 season like it was yesterday, because it was the strike year when the Orioles were the best team in baseball. Got boned because of the strike. That's another story. But he was as big that particular year.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't a bigger sports celebrity in 1981 than Fernando Valenzuela. Not Magic Johnson, not Larry Bird, not Kareem, not Joe Montana. Well, they hadn't won a Super Bowl yet, but no football player came close to what Fernando Valenzuela was bringing to the equation from a celebrity. He was on the national news. He was on
cover Sports Illustrated.
Every magazine.
Yeah.
And he stemmed the tide in the 81 World Series, which was the last time the Yankees and Dodgers met. New York won the first two games at Yankee Stadium. It was a Friday night. I was at Tommy Shiflett's house on Gulf Street, right off of Ann, with Jimmy Fish and Paul Stella and Tommy himself. Sadly, they're all gone. Bobster still remains to carry the memory alive. And Fernando Valenzuela pitched the complete game to win game three, and the Dodgers would go on to win the World Series in six games. He didn't pitch all that great. Bottom line is, 21-year-old rookie goes out there and labors through 200 pitches back in that day. But Fernando Valenzuela was a rock star for that year especially. I don't know if his career's Hall of Fame worthy, but he was a big enough deal in L.A. where they put his number in the Ring of Honor. He was just there in August. So rest in peace, Fernando Mania. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Talk about everything happening on this Woman Crush Wednesday. How about Damon Evans joining us 10:30? Talk about Maryland's dramatic win against USC last Saturday. Now 4-point underdogs at Minnesota, 3:30 on FS1. But if you want to get in, now's your chance here on The Fan. On Saturday, the ones that were left, because it looked like everybody left in the middle of fourth quarter, but at Minnesota, can the Terps start to do what? They need two to get bowl eligible. Can they start stacking? We'll start talking more about the hoop season, which is right around the corner. You get the drill. Go to Baltimore. It's Ray. Ray, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Not much.
Wonderful. Hey, man, before I get started with my question, name on this group from 1981. Now, obviously, I was in my mom's stomach at the time. I dated myself, but I was about to come into the world, but not yet. You didn't name Larry Holmes, Sugar Ray Leonard, Jerry Cooney, because Jerry Cooney was developing momentum back in 81.
Yeah, Sugar, they were rock stars, but Fernando, that year, he was the dude.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, but you just named all the other people.
Yeah,
about that. You as a boxing fan, you forgot the name Sugar Ray Leonard.
It was an egregious mistake. And Marvin Hagler, too. Tommy Hearns was a big deal because he was about to fight. So you're right. I apologize, Ray. How about Tim Zoo getting beat up? But that's another conversation for another day.
Oh, man. He's a greater Bronny James. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Tim Zoo. He's a more accomplished Bronny James. Never should have been in that position. But what I will say when it comes to my question, because I know you got to get to the AD, when it comes to what's happening with this scheme, if I, as a fan, and this is a question to, mainly to Vinny, but to you as well, Bob, if I, as a fan, can understand the communication, I know, and I once heard Marlon Humphrey say this on a podcast, I know Steve Bisciotti, I know people related to Steve Bisciotti, is in his ear talking about, hey, what's going on with the defense? I know Lamar Jackson is saying something. How much, leash do we give, do the team give Zachary all for what's going on? Because I know he's a Raven and everything, but this is a championship team. And, it's becoming more and more egregious with these miscommunications, man. So, Vinny, from your expert view, do someone gets into the air, or do Zach all know that his seat is hot? And I take it on the other side. Y'all fellas have a good one.
All right, Ray, thanks.
Well, I think he realized, things were different when they brought in Dean Pease. That is the fire that's lit under him. And if I'm a betting man, and I don't know, but I would say, just because I've been through it before, started with Bisciotti. Because when we did it, it started with the owner. So, That is the first thing. And they got to show improvement. And did they, watching them, you can't tell, much back there. I mean, Roquan was better. The defensive line was worse. The pass rush was bad. So, I mean, they haven't, and Harbs talks about it all the time, consistency. They haven't been consistent at all. Whereas the offense does beautiful things, the defense is like, you know, if I'm an offensive guy, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, can you stop them one time?
Well, the fact they brought in Dean Pease at all speaks volumes.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, that right there is hey, this isn't good enough because, you know, I mean, it's been well said. This is a great chance to be a great football team if the defense can pick it up because, you know what, the O-line, they were the biggest concern. No, not anymore. Kicking over 50 was a big concern. Not anymore. Secondary wasn't a big concern. Now it's a huge concern. Pass rush, somewhat of a concern, even though they're ranked fifth or whatever, but it's still a concern.
Yeah, they got some window dressing plays in the second half on Monday night. All right, let's go to Rob in Bel Air. Rob, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Vinny. Hey, Bob. Guess you didn't make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame again. Bad company.
Yeah, and look, I would put them in over Foreigner, and I thought Foreigner deserved to be in. But Bad Company, well-established before Foreigner even started. So, Rob, I don't know what the hell's going on over there. I was going to say Iron Maiden and Alice in Chains, Soundgarden. I mean, there's plenty of others. Got me running hot all of a sudden, Rob.
Country music legend Dolly Parton was even in there before. It's unbelievable. But, hey, Vinny, when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, I've always said with Watt and Highsmith coming off, they're the guys that basically can close a game, you know, because the way they can come off and do that stuff. And if you look at the Steelers, it looks like they've got 18 guys on the field because they smother everything, where the Ravens look like they're playing with seven. I mean, all of a sudden, Bob, Deshaun Elliott is like, according to Chris Collinsworth, the greatest safety in the NFL, where when he played for the Ravens, guy couldn't stay healthy. It's just amazing how that happens, you know, all of a sudden when you go to that organization for some reason, except for Patrick Queen right now.
Might be scheme, but, too.
That's where I was going to go with it. It's also scheme, but what's going on with Penn State with Isaac? Wasn't he supposed to be a pass rusher for Penn State? And now he seems to be hurt, just like Tampa does. What's his name? TJ Tampa.
Yeah, they're not hurt. They're not hurt. They're just not played yet. I think here's the problem with those guys was, especially Isaac, missed all of he got hurt the first day of rookie minicamp, so he missed all of OTAs, missed all of minicamp, missed all of most of training camp. So he's way behind. I mean, when he got a chance to play, you know, he's out. He looked like he run 5.2 because he's out there thinking, and he's not ready yet. You know, that's like that Thanksgiving turkey. You pull the button, hadn't popped out. He's not ready to play yet. Yeah, that's the thing.
Turkey's not done. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Damon Evans, athletic director, University of Maryland, probably feeling better today than he was last Wednesday after Maryland's dramatic win over USC. We'll take more of your phone calls at 410-583-1057. And that film study coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll start with the Ravens defense. They gave up over almost 500 yards. What the hell's going on around here?
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the Fan.
Don't you leave me this way.
No. Oh, Woman Crush Wednesday. We're grooving like it's Saturday Night Fever. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band, send a request. Nolan McGraw, Plot Support Text Line, 410-583-1057. Bob Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Terps at Minnesota. Coming up Saturday, 3:30. Minnesota, 4-point favorites. They're coming off a bye. Maryland coming off their most dramatic win in quite some time. Here to talk about that and more joins us every Wednesday. He is the athletic director of the University of Maryland, Damon Evans. Damon, good morning. How are you feeling today?
I feel better, fellas. It's always good coming off a win, but don't want to rest on that. We still got a lot of work to do, but it's good to get a win over USC, and it was a great homecoming weekend.
And as John Harbaugh would say, time to start stacking stuff. But, you know, as a 50-plus year Maryland fan, 13-year season ticket holder, wearing a Maryland shirt as we speak, I was thinking, here we go again. Penalty here on a missed field goal. The guy fumbles the block kickoff. And then, but they pull that thing out. In understanding the malaise that, or the self-inflicted damage, to watch them persevere and do what they have to do with Edwards culminating in a touchdown. How proud were you of not only the effort, but the fact that there was no quit and they came back and finished off a high-named team, shall we say?
Well, the fact that there was no quit is what stood out to me. Locks continues to say that this team continues to believe. And they continue to fight, and that was evident on Saturday. We saw some things go against us, and this team just has an unbelievable will to keep moving ahead and a belief in themselves, and that makes you feel good moving forward. What I did like that was very, very interesting to see at the end of the game that when we didn't get that last drive and they got in field goal range, not only did we block the field goal, but then the lateral to move up the field, but then to finish it off with a drive to score, but then right after that to stop them and not even allow them to attempt a field goal to get them out on downs. I thought that was a great sequence and showed a lot of mental fortitude for our team, and hopefully that will carry over into the Minnesota game.
And Damon, you talk about mental fortitude. How about Billy Edwards Jr. the entire season? He replaces Leah Tungavaiola, who set all the Maryland passing records, now playing professionally. For him to come in and maybe even in some level exceed what Leah has done, watching Billy Edwards this season has meant what for you?
I'm happy for him and excited for him because he is that individual who stuck with this program, who waited his turn, whether he was a backup or now a starter, has shown the same level of leadership. The players rally around him, and that makes you feel good that good things are happening for a young man of his caliber. Billy has been very, 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 very good for us. What he did this past weekend was amazing in and of itself. And I just wish good things for him and our team, and I'm grateful that he's our quarterback.
Hey, Damon, you know what? The thing that I was looking forward to watching in that SC game was because the Northwestern, you know, the way that finished out the fourth quarter was terrible. Did they quit? Did they give up on the coaches? And that's what I wanted to see, you know, coming into this game. And like you and Bob had just kind of talked about, yeah, there was no fight, there was no quit. And that, to me, was the most impressive thing, like you said, Damon, because they backed the coaches. That's what it told me. It told me that they believe in what the coaches are telling them.
Absolutely. The locker room is still intact. The locker room is together. When you come off of a loss like Northwestern, and that's nothing against Northwestern, but the way that we played was unacceptable. It was not the level or the standard to which we'd like to play. And a team can go one or two ways. And I think a lot of people thought we were going to go in a different direction. But those young men said, hey, wait, let's try to fix this thing. We know who we are. We know what we're capable of. And we were able to – that USC team is a good football team. I want to remind everyone, I think at the beginning of the year they beat LSU. They almost beat the number three team in the country, and Penn State took them to overtime. Went to Michigan and gave Michigan a fight, and they've lost some very, very close games, like a lot of teams have struggled with. And for us to come out and take it to a national power and win in the manner in which we did, kudos to the kids. Kudos to Locks as well. Locks has taken a lot of hits here as of late. Let's not, you know, people jumping off the bandwagon, people saying things about Locks. And you know what? He kept his head down. He made some adjustments. And so far, those adjustments worked out this week. And he admitted that there are more that need to be made. And I believe that he'll continue to look for ways to better position us to win. But, man, what a great weekend we had.
Now, Damon, like when you meet with him on Monday, because you said you guys meet every Monday, when you meet with him on Monday, being like the leader, like now you kind of like, all right, Locks, you know, what are we doing? You know, don't rest on that, Laurel. What are we doing? What are you telling him? Like, all right, what else do we got to improve upon? Because the Gophers, they beat SC too.
I think you learn more in a win sometimes than you do in a loss. I don't like us to get, oh, well, we won the game, everything's okay.
Right.
There are a lot of things in that game that we needed to fix. I mean, the 12 men on the field on the field goal, that was significant because that led to us to 7 points. And there's some other things in the game that transpired that we've got to fix. So sometimes the best time to learn and to look at yourself in the mirror really hard is when you win. And that is something that we'll continue to focus on here. Make no mistake about it. Going to Minnesota on the road, they're what I call a heavy-handed team. You know, the line's going to be very, very good, and they're going to protect the quarterback. They're going to be fundamentally sound. And we've got to go up there and play well. And I do want to give kudos to our offensive line this week. I think we picked up the blitz quite well against USC. They're a heavy blitzing team. We gave our quarterback enough protection. But again, while I say that, there are things that need to be worked on there. So we've got to keep working, keep tweaking things, and just position ourselves to have an opportunity to win.
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, as he does every Wednesday, transitioning to basketball, men's in particular, November 4th. You mentioned the great weekend that it was, Hall of Fame weekend for Maryland Athletics. Hey, Lonnie Baxter was inducted. Two-time regional MVP, two Final Fours, national champion. Trying to harken back, Damon, to the days where it was a bad year if Maryland only made the Sweet 16, air quotes. So as you look at this roster, it's been reconstructed. We talked about it last week, but some exciting new pieces. How excited is Kevin Willard for the upcoming season here?
Well, I think Kevin's very excited. Anytime you get to start a new year and coming off a year in which we all wanted to do much better, not making the tournament is not where we want to be. Making the tournament here at the University of Maryland should be a foregone conclusion. I believe that much in our basketball team, our rich history and tradition here, and that's what the fans expect. So I know that Willard's excited because he's retooled his roster. He's got some newcomers in Derek Queen and Malachi Palmer and Jacoby Gillespie and Selton Miguel and many, many, many more. And I think we're going to give ourselves a really good opportunity. We're going to open up on the 4th against Manhattan and continue to build from there. And just want to do something to make our fans proud and put a product on the court that resembles what Maryland is all about.
All right, Damon, what about the other fall sports, soccer, lacrosse, and then don't forget about Brenda Freeze's season starting too.
Well, Brenda she's a remarkable coach. Start the season off ranked 18th in the preseason poll, and going to start off at UMBC on November 4th, so the same day as the men play. And when you have someone like Cheyenne Sellers and returning along with Bree McDaniel, we're excited. But the newcomers, I think the depth that she's been able to establish is going to be really, really good. So we're excited about that. And then we have our basketball tip-off dinner this Thursday here at Xfinity where fans are invited. The info's on umterps.com. But the story of the fall thus far, fellas, the story of the fall is a man that goes by one name. And that's Sasho, our head men's soccer coach, ranked number 2 in the nation with a 12-game unbeaten streak and a record of 8-1-5. Just really pulled this thing together, so I'm excited for him. Missy Maharigan field hockey ranked number 6 with a 10-4 record coming off a 2-0 win over number 7 Michigan. So a lot of good things are happening here. Wrestling's going to get started with their red, black event on Friday. At 7 p.m. So we just got to keep fighting, keep grinding, fellas, and doing things the Maryland way.
All right, Damon, Woman Crush Wednesday. Who are we rocking to now?
Well, we're going to rock to I Got a Feeling by Fergie and the Black Eyed Peas.
Well, I got a feeling Maryland might pull the upset based on the spread at Minnesota Saturday. Keep in mind, I'm usually wrong. Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Damon, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk next Wednesday.
Thanks, Damon.
Thanks, guys.
There's Damon Evans. Much better spirits than he was last week.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. ELE, everybody.
It a lot easier for us.
ELE. Too. Everybody love everybody. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. 11 o'clock, Vinny's film breakdown. We'll talk about the Ravens' defense first. ELE, we're all loving the Ravens. But defensively, 480 yards, teams getting third down conversions left and right. What the hell's going on around there? Go to Brian in Owings Mills. Brian, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Good.
You know, it really ticked me off, man. You had an idiot calling and talk about Roquan intentionally hurt somebody. Was it Roquan's idea to leave the wide receiver Godwin in the game when the game was, like, pretty much over with? And the starting quarterback when this game was, like, hopelessly, they couldn't win that game. Was that Roquan's fault he got hurt? Or was that the coach's fault?
Yeah, and when I watched it again this morning, I don't think he did anything, you know, that was illegal.
No, he didn't. It's just you just got a moron that just run his mouth. You got nothing else better to do but hate. You know what I'm saying? And I would, too, because your team is sucks. I mean, think about it. They lost to the Broncos, and the quarterback only threw 60 yards in the air. How do you lose to a quarterback, a rookie quarterback at that, who outplays your veteran quarterback, the great Aaron Ford, four-time MVP Rodgers, who didn't throw zero touchdowns? See, you're a bum, and you should not call this station ever again.
Well, thank you, Brian. And I think in that game, didn't the Broncos have, like, negative yards passing?
-7
at halftime. Don't want to laugh at them too much because they'll be here next week. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Bob?
How you doing, dude?
What's up, Vinny? First of all, real quick, before I say what I got to say, Bob.
Yeah.
And Vinny, what school did Rashad Bateman go to?
Minnesota.
You know damn well Merlin ain't beating no Minnesota Saturday, man.
Falele went there, too.
Say it again?
Falele went there, too. And I want to say Anton Winfield did, too.
He did.
Junior, yeah.
Same class
as
Bateman. But I'm pretty sure, and I'll look this up as you're talking and asking these football questions.
Okay.
Pretty sure Maryland did beat them in recent. They beat them when Bateman was there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
On a Friday night.
You know, Bateman had a big game Monday. So I feel like, you know, Minnesota won't come out there. You can't sleep on Minnesota, though. But look, this is what I wanted to say about the Ravens, though, right? I do agree with that last call. Now, I ain't going to say Q can't call in because I like what other callers call in because I be calling in New York sometimes too, right? But Q is funny, right? It's so, like, bro, he a Yankees fan, right?
Yeah.
The Dodgers winning the World Series, so that's why he got to keep hating, you know what I mean? But
well, he was like on Twins bandwagon. Then
3 years ago, he was Twins fan.
Then jump back. But calling up talking trash about the Yankees versus Orioles, I hear that. I mean,
yeah.
But you know, ragging on the Ravens like they're beneath his. We can't turn this into a because outside of the Yankees, because they're division rivals with the Orioles, Baltimore doesn't give a bleep about New York teams. That's kind of the point. It's like, dude, you're a Jets fan. They haven't been relevant in bazillion years. Stop it.
Exactly. But if Q want to keep talking trash about my team, I would like to make a friendly bet with him. You know, $100 that his Jets not going to make the playoffs.
I think that's money in the bank, dude. You might as well just deposit
when I
that check
tomorrow.
Man.
Maybe he'll give me my answer, but I think the Ravens should go out and get. So we gotta go get a defensive player, man. Because I can't believe D Hop. Can you believe that, Bob and Vinny? The Chiefs got D Hop, right? The Tennessee Titans traded D Hop to a team that won back to back Super Bowls, right? But they couldn't even send us Derrick Henry last year. Like, that is wild. But you know what it is, though? Like, read between the lines. The Jets just got Devontae Adams. The Bills just got Cooper. So now they all pumping them up, right? Although the Jets ain't going to the playoffs. So now they pumping up the Bills. Look, all of a sudden now the Chiefs get something. You know why? Because they scared of the Ravens. They know we coming. I'm trying to tell you. If we get that defense together, we're going to win the Super Bowl. I think Zach Orr need to tell them, it ain't the first 48, it's 60 minutes. Like, get it through their head. Get it through their head. Every sub, Ray Lewis, please, go out to practice. School them boys. Y'all the OG. We need a Super Bowl this year. The city need a Super Bowl.
All right,
I'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
The only thing that scares – Hopkins doesn't scare me. The only thing that scares me, we talked about it off-show, Bob, is – Patrick Mahomes, because his quarterback rating 74.
Yeah, he's going to get hot.
Yes.
Sooner or later.
And they're undefeated.
And Marquise Brown's going to be back. I don't know about Rice or McKinnon.
Rice, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Rice is probably done for the year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, D-Hop's not the DeAndre Hopkins, if you missed it, looks like he's going to KC for a conditional fourth-round pick. He's not the guy he was 4 years ago or 5 years ago when he was doing great things.
I would have been more nervous, Bob, if they got Cooper Kupp. I think that would have helped. I'm guessing the value for the pick was probably a lot more. They got a conditional fourth.
Yeah, and Cooper Kupp's coming back this week, it looks like.
And they said that they're willing to trade him.
Yep. I mean, we'll see how Ravens don't need a receiver, do they?
No. They don't need an offensive player.
Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Vinny's going to tell you why. Because when we come back, film study, we're going to talk about the defense. The defense rates low in a lot of categories. And they got kind of shredded again Monday night. They won the game because they had to score 41 more points. But Vinny's going to explain what the problemo is. Was it a communication thing? That's been the main excuse. Find out when we come back. Whip around 11:15 what happened in the world of sports last night. And historically, hey, history was made in the NBA last night. And then notes from the North. We talk about the AFC North, where the Ravens and Steelers are fighting for supremacy.